Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Okay, well, Dave Bennett's going to come and play. This morning we're going to play the rendition of our hit. Come right ahead, sir, if you would. Give Dave a hand, if you would. Yep, right there. Cool, I know what I need. I do what I want, act as I please. I am the center of my universe. I always think of myself first. But now I've died and there's the man on his throne. And I'm standing here alone. Looking back into my days on earth, from this very moment, the day of my birth. And I realized to my shame, there were many times I could have got on the gospel train. But it's too late for me, baby, there's no turning back. Got the judgment day. That is so much fun. What I love about it is you couldn't even tell if I forgot the words or anything. It's just great. There are people across the world and across all ages who would not renounce the name of Jesus. And they were executed, persecuted, lost their homes, lost their livelihoods, lost their loved ones. Lost everything for the name of Jesus. And I can't imagine what heaven is going to be like for those brave loved ones who have gone on ahead of us, who stood for Christ. In fact, Jesus says, "Great is your reward in heaven." This song is about that, and I need help with it, so I'm going to watch this. But this song says it all. Taken by the wind, you have known the kiss of sorrow. Doors that would not let you in, outcast and a stranger. You have come by way of sorrow, you have come by way of tears. But you'll reach your destiny, meant to find you all these years, meant to find you all these years. You have drunk a bitter wine, with none to be your comfort. You who once were left behind will be welcomed at God's table. You have come by way of sorrow, you have come by way of tears, but you'll reach your destiny. Come to find you all these years, come to find you all these years. That joy has slept will awake to days of laughter. Gone the tears that you have wept, you'll dance in freedom ever after. You have come by way of sorrows, you have come by way of tears, but you'll reach your destiny, meant to find you all these years, meant to find you all these years. You have come by way of sorrow, you have come by way of tears, but you'll reach your destiny, come to find you all these years, come to find you all. Let's open our Bibles together, shall we? I used to hate it when the old Baptist preachers I grew up under would say, "Please turn over in your Bibles." And I didn't know how to turn over in my Bible. I was so big and it was so small. I didn't know what to do. But let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, one of the letters of Paul. Colossians chapter 3. And if you're trying to look that up, you know, if you don't have a Bible with you, there are some pew Bibles. You can open one up and you can go to the index and look up the book of Colossians and find that page. And I don't want you to feel, if you haven't had a long relationship with the Bible, I don't want you to feel out of place, because the little old lady next to you goes like, and there it is when somebody says a reference. And before we read the scriptures, let's pray together, shall we? Here we all are, Lord. We are your people. We are so grateful. And this is your book, and we are so grateful for this great gift. Open the scriptures, help us, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, Paul writing to the great folks at Colossae. And verse 12 is where we're going to begin. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with
compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together with perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. You know, emblems are everything nowadays. I mean, no matter where you go, everybody's got an emblem. Commercial organizations design their own personal logos for their own stuff. Everybody has logos. I'm old enough to remember clothing without stuff on it. Do you remember those days? My t-shirt doesn't say anything today, but usually I wear one of my favorite t-shirts that I bought at Piggly Wiggly in South Myrtle Beach several years ago. I wear it. Every now and then it'll be under a sweater. And I love it because it says, I dig the pig, you know. And everybody has emblems, you know. You got hats telling which golf ball you play, or shirts telling you which guitars you like, or, you know, if you're political, you know, you got a shirt that might say, make America great again. Or if you're from the other side, it says, resist, you know, and as that whole thing goes on. Or whatever, everybody's got emblems, everybody. And then there's tattoos. That whole art form. Yes, I said art form. It's an interesting one. Justin Joyner wanted a tattoo so badly, and the way he justified it is that he had it on the inside of his arm, and it says in Greek, it's the Greek name of Jesus that he had put on his arm. And I said, dude, if you want a tattoo, get a tattoo. You don't have to justify it with anything religious. But anyhow, now for you parents whose kids want tattoos, and I just said that, you're really angry at me. But I just... I told you about my friend who was a tattoo artist. I've told it many times, but let me tell you again just because I get to. He was a tattoo artist who did a lot of satanic stuff and images and stuff for tattoos. And he came to Christ and was so troubled by it all. He thought he had to leave being a tattoo artist. And he came to me and he said, you know, Pastor, you know, I do this tattoo thing. I'm a tattoo artist, and I don't know what to do. I mean, you know, should I stop being a tattoo artist? And the light came on for me. I said, you know what? It's an art form, but what you need to do is you need to ask Jesus what he wants you to do. You ask him. So it was about a week later, he comes in with his eyes like this big, bigger than I can get him, huge. Tom, I said, what? He goes, you won't believe what happened. I said, what happened? He said, I asked the Lord to show me if I could still be a tattoo artist, and I let my Bible drop open. That's not always the best thing to do, okay? He let it drop open, and it went to Revelation, where Jesus is returning from heaven on a white steed, and on his thigh is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I've told you, he went, tattoo! You know? Emblems are like everything, right? It's on everybody's clothes, it's everywhere. In fact, some people wear their clothes so you can see the tag, you know, the emblem. I don't know. I'm not into cut. If I start saying brands, it's going to be old people brands. Tommy Hilfiger. I don't know. Tommy Bahama. I don't know this stuff. So, I mean, but all that stuff, right? I'm following these kids in the city the other day, and they had their pants down on their hips so that their undergarments could be sticking up with all the tags and all that. It tags everywhere. Jesus said that Christians have one particular tag, one emblem that shows the world that they really belong to Jesus. Oh, I know what we would think. We would think great biblical knowledge. Standing for the truth, man. That's not that. It's important, but it's not that. It's found, actually, in John chapter 13. If you want to turn back there, I'll read it for you. You know the words of Jesus. When he said what emblem you're supposed to wear to let the world know that you belong to him. A new command I give you, chapter 13, verse 34. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men and women will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Not if you have great knowledge. Not if you... you know, you dress just impeccably. Not if you do all the rituals properly. It's whether or not, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, you love people or not. It's down to that. That's what it is. That's the one mark. When Debbie and I were first beginning in all of this, We served at a couple places before here, and it was ugly, man. I mean, one of those places just blew up. People hated one another. And another one, Dave, you'll remember this. We had a pastor that said, "I'm saying this with all the love I can muster." Remember that, Dave? That means you don't love when you got to say that. And what's so weird is that nobody ever talked about Jesus. They talked about how to run the organization, how to get more people in, how to get more money in, all that stuff. Man, I was disillusioned. And that's when I met this guy, well, two guys. I met Myron Gall, and that changed my life. And I learned how to teach the Bible, finally, with the right attitude, I hope. And then I met this old man, Francis Schaeffer, that lived in the Alps in Switzerland. He wore these little Nehru coats, had this little, kind of had the thing like Gall has going on there. You had the thing. Sign of great wisdom. That's so when you're pondering a question, you can go, And he wore these, Dr. Schaeffer wore these knickers with high socks and with shoes with buckles like the pilgrims, because that's what they wear in Switzerland. I told my brother, if he dresses like that, I'm going to have to come over and slap him. Because he already wears those long robes, I call them the dresses, at his church with this big white bow on top. It looks really stupid, but the people over there, they think it looks very religious, so he wears them when he preaches. But where was I? Oh, Dr. Schaeffer, he said something that profoundly affected me. I wrote it in one of my old Bibles from way back then, so I looked it up again today. He said something. Now, he's going to use the word orthodoxy. That means biblical correctness, okay, is what that means. Being correct biblically and having that all right. He says, biblical orthodoxy without compassion is the ugliest thing in the world. Isn't that profound? I'll never forget him. He was an evangelist. Traveled all over the place, preached. Treated his wife like a servant and beat his boys to no end. And it's amazing that these boys want to know anything about Jesus. But they had a mother that loved them. So since they had a mother that loved them, I think that overrided. Now, they're still kind of messed up because of their dad. But there was a while, two of the boys came to me and said they were trying to think of a way of killing their father and getting away with it. They had been almost inoculated from ever being able to understand the gospel of Jesus because their dad, who supposedly proclaimed it, treated them like dirt. It's really sad. But it happens all over the place. And so we've got to face this. We've talked about this hundreds of times in this place over the last all these decades. But we want to look at it again today. The emblem, the mark of the Christian is Christian love. I mean true love and true concern for other people. If you don't have that, please shut up. I have this lady down in one of our neighbors in a condo that we have in Myrtle Beach. And she is a Christian, and she's the meanest old chick you ever met. She interrupts everybody, accuses everybody, screams and carries on. And you know what I said to her last year after a business meeting? I said, "Listen, you claim to be a Christian. Quit telling people that. Would you please tell them you're a Buddhist? I'm trying to win these people to Jesus. And you're going around." I said, I don't think you're a Christian. I don't think you." She was really offended. Good. It was awful, her attitude. Let's not do that. I want to make 3 points today. And they're simple. Talk about simple 3 points. Number one, Jesus, knowing Jesus changes you. Number two, knowing Jesus changes you. Number three, knowing Jesus changes you. All right, let's look at the first one. Go back to Colossians chapter 3 where we were. Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, verse 12 is where we started before. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Did you get that? When you know Jesus, you really become something. It changes how you see yourself. Let me read you something from the Psalms. Psalm 103. There is this statement, a beautiful statement in Psalm 103, that says this. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. And I'm going to skip down now to verse 4. That was verse 1 I read. Just down to verse 4. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. You know what happens to you when you come to Jesus? Do you know what changes? What changes is the way you see yourself redeemed. A tremendous price was paid for you. Do you know how valuable you are? Other people might not give a plugged nickel for you, but the God of heaven sent his only son to be murdered and have his blood shed to pay the penalty that we owed so that he could adopt us to be his children. Do you see that? Do you see the value that you have? He redeemed us. In the Jewish system, there was a thing called a relative redeemer. And what that means is, if you lost everything, the relative could come in and buy back your property for you. If you sold yourself into slavery, that kindred redeemer, the goel, he's called, could come and buy you out of prison because he is your redeemer. He came and he redeemed you. If you were hurt by someone else, he was the avenger. Well, you have a redeemer way bigger than a family member, and I'll tell you that. My dad was the avenger in our family. He says, it's so good I didn't have any daughters, because if so, I'd have been calling the boys on the south side of Pontiac to hurt some guy who was dating my daughter, and I'd be in jail, he used to say. He would be the avenger. Well, I want you to know, Jesus is all of that. He redeemed you from the pit. And then get this. I love this statement in Psalm 103, verse 4, the second part of it. He crowns you with love and compassion. Do you see that? You are crowned. Do you know what that means? That means you are elevated by his incredible love for you. Elevated. Crowned with love and compassion. That's you. And when you choose to trust Jesus, when you've come to Christ, when you realize that he died for you and that you personally needed to invite Christ into your life to be your own personal Savior because you're lost, something happens. You are crowned with love and compassion. So it changes you, I'm telling you. It really does. You know, Disney movies, Debbie and I love Disney movies. Isn't that exciting? I know. But one of my favorites, though, is Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast. I mean, that was one ugly dude, wasn't it? The Beast. And he acted like a beast, and he was gruff and mean and ugly, both inside and out. But Belle came, and she loved him. You know how many guys I know that were beasts until they met a sweet girl that loved them? Now, girls, please don't think you can marry a guy and change him. If he's a bum, broom him now. Don't marry him, okay? Do that. That's another one of my dad's lines. Broom him, okay? But there's a lot of guys who are fine, but they feel so bad about themselves, and they don't know how to think or feel, and they've been loved by a sweet girl, and all of a sudden, they're not beasts anymore. There are girls that think they have to run everything, have to have everything their way. But then they're loved by somebody that loves them unconditionally. And all of a sudden they don't have to have everything their way anymore. They're not a beast anymore. That's what Jesus has done for you. Knowing Jesus will change you. It'll change the way you see yourself. Crowned. Elevated. Do you see that? To me, that's beautiful. And the way he puts it again in the letter to the Colossians, therefore, as God's chosen people. He wanted you. I think of Grayson Keach adopting two little girls when he married Anne. And those girls felt so special because they were chosen by their daddy. You know, everybody else got to take what they get, they used to tell me, but not us. Our daddy chose us. God's chosen people, holy and, get it, dearly loved. I mean, that'll change you. It'll change the way you see yourself. Not only will Jesus change you, but secondly, Jesus will change you. He changes how you respond. So let me read this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other. It changes. So here's the thing. In order to clothe ourselves, to put on this new stuff, we got to take off the old stuff. Let me read to you Ephesians. Let me go back just a couple of little letters to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Here you go. You know, you have learned to operate a certain way. And now Jesus wants to change you. He wants to change the way you operate and respond. Verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Wow. but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. I just needed to get that off my chest. We're not talking about your needs. What do the people listening to you need? That's what the issue is, kids. Not what I want to say. Not what I want to unload. You ever know those people that when they walk into the room and start talking, it's like an ice truck unloaded in the room? They're fun, aren't they? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You want to know how we grieve him? By the way we talk. And then there's the root of why we talk the way we do. Get rid, take it off, of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. Do you see that? I mean, in order to be changed, we got to take something off. All right, that's smelly. Let's get rid of this, okay? You know, there's a lot of things that need to change in our lives. And one of them is the way we think and react and talk. Got to take that stuff off. That means you got to recognize it. Lord, I got a problem here. You got to help me with this, right? You got to help me. Instead of unloading on people, think, what is it they need? So put it on. And what we put on, what changes us is so great is this. It changes how we respond. We go back to Colossians and it says, clothe yourselves with compassion. And that's the key statement, because clothing yourself with compassion then makes all this other stuff possible, of able to be kind, humble, gentle, patient, able to put up with a tough situation, bearing with one another, those kind of things. It can only happen with compassion. It changes. Clothe yourselves with it. We've had a lot of babies born around here and in our family in the last couple of years. And I've learned the profound fact, inside a girl's body, when things start changing on the inside, man, you can see it on the outside. You really can. And that's a wonderful thing. But seriously, then things start changing on the inside, so you see things changing on the outside. That's how it is with a Christian. The Spirit of God, when you trust Christ, moves into you. And at that point, he starts changing things. Changes the way you see yourself, changes how you respond. Makes it different than it used to be. I'm telling you, our normal tendency to be selfish. Did you hear about the guys golfing at Pontiac Country Club one day along Elizabeth Lake Road over here? And this long procession goes by the 18th hole. And these guys are on the 18th hole, and this one dude takes his hat off, watches the entire procession go by. When the last car was out of sight, he was lining up his putt. And the other three guys said, man, that is touching. How respectful for you to show respect to that funeral procession. He says, hey, she gave me the 40 best years of her life. I know, I'm terrible. Never mind. Back to the point, that was too easy. Okay, knowing Jesus changes you. Knowing Jesus changes you. Number three, knowing Jesus changes you. It changes this. It changes how you see. When it says here to clothe yourself with compassion, it's the way you see others. You see, what we think about us is that, what we think within us is, when someone does something, we think we know why they're doing it. Oh, they just think they're better than everybody else, right? We start judging them with information we don't have, okay? We got to be careful. We are told to clothe ourselves with compassion. That is the key to all the other things, being able to be patient and loving and kind. I mean, all of that is based on how you see the other person. It's about time God gives you, by his Spirit, eyes of compassion, because everybody's having a hard time. You might think somebody has it all together. They don't. They're messed up just like you. George Washington. I was so moved by one of them. I'll try to remember it. Roger Campbell had it in his article. He told a story of General Washington during Valley Forge. They'd arrested a young man named Timothy for spying and trying to hurt the American cause of freedom. And he was sentenced to death. And this old man named James, can't remember his last name, this old man James came to the encampment and asked to see the general. And they said, tell
tell General Washington my name is James, whatever his name was. General Washington heard the name. He said, bring that old man to me. And he brought him in, embraced him. And the General Washington said, sir, what can I do for you? He said, General, you have a young man who's condemned to die for espionage. I ask you for a pardon. And the general thought about it and said, sir, I'm sorry. I can't pardon your friend. He said, friend? Sir, he's not my friend, General. He's my worst enemy. He has beaten me and spit in my face so many times, knowing that I would never retaliate, that I would never strike back. And now, as this last act of mercy for him, I ask you to give him one more chance to save his life. And the general went in the other room and came back with a piece of paper in his hand, a full pardon for that kid. And he hugged, General Washington hugged that old man and said, thank you, sir, for your Christian example in all of this. Oh, it makes such a difference. You see, James knew Timmy's problems. He knew where he had come from, and he didn't react like everybody else. He saw him with compassion. Christian artists do that. My friend Randy Stonehill wrote, they've got Christmas music piped in through the ceiling, and the refills of coffee are always for free. And the waitress on Graveyard and the surly night manager, they're wishing that all of us losers would leave. There's a star on the sign at the Texaco station, like the star long ago on that midnight clear. But looking around at these sad, empty faces, I don't think you'll find any wise men here. But I'm dreaming about a silent night, a holy night when things were all right. And I'm dreaming about how my life would have been if only. It's not just the blind man that loses his sight. Merry Christmas. It's Christmas at Denny's tonight. I once had a house and a wife and a daughter. Had a company job earning middle class pay. But Lisa got killed by a car near the schoolyard. And my wife started drinking just to get through each day. I'll never forget that little red wagon turning to rust all alone in the rain. One night I flagged down a truck on the highway. I just couldn't bear to go back there again. And I'm dreaming about a silent night, a holy night, when things were all right, and I'm dreaming about how my life would have been if only, if only. It's not just the blind man that loses his sight. Merry Christmas. It's Christmas at Denny's tonight. And they say life is cruel circumstance, that fate plays the tune and we dance till we drop in the dust and are gone, and the world just goes on. The cop at the counter, he's our guardian angel. He watches these infants through dark mirrored shades. And the register rings like a bell sadly tolling of the fools we've become and the price that we paid. When I was a child, I believed in Christmas. Miracle season to make a new start. I don't need no miracle, sweet baby Jesus. I just need to find some kind of hope in my heart. And I'm dreaming about a silent night, a holy night, when things were all right, and I'm dreaming about how my life could have been if only. It's not just the blind man that loses his sight. Merry Christmas. Christmas at Denny's tonight. They're everywhere, you guys. They're everywhere. And they need us to see them with the eyes of God. It's so important. I drove by Webster School on Huron Street this week, going to the hospitals. I get a twinge in my heart every time I see that place boarded up and fallen down. Because I remember it in its glory, an incredible place of education, where Mrs. Keeler spent 40 years training little minds, helping them along, guiding them. You know, there was a building out behind that huge building of the school, this big building that was the boiler. I mean, it was huge. You ever see those old boilers? When we had a big monstrosity here in this building when it was built in 1971. It was this big million BTU thing. That thing was a monster. If it blew, we'd all die. The thing was awful. We changed it out, thank the Lord. That's gone. But this one there was, it was gargantuan, this boiler. Man, it just cranked out the heat. And in every schoolroom in that big old building were these units. They're called radiators. And those radiators just would receive the warmth from the boilers and warm the room. Hot water heat. Been around for a long, long time. Make that noise when the hot water was running through them, like we have hot water heat here. You know, those radiators, they didn't produce the heat. They didn't produce the warmth. They just received the warmth and radiated that warmth into the room that they were at. And that warmed people. But I learned something. Every now and then they'd get air in the lines. And one radiator would stop working. So they'd have to come. The plumbers would come. And I was always interested in that because they had cool tools. And I like cool tools. And they would have to bleed the lines to get the air bubbles out, right? So the water would start flowing again, right? That whole thing. Do you know, you don't create love. You can only receive it. And you've received it from the God who loves you. Since that's true, it's not your job to make that happen. It's just to let that happen. To let the love of God flow through you. It was Paul who said, the love of God has been poured into our hearts in Romans chapter 5. But every now and then I run across Christians who are not loving. They've got a clog in the line, or even worse, let me ask you this question. If you have trouble with loving and forgiving, could it be you have never been forgiven? Could it be you've just been religious and you have not trusted in Jesus as your Savior? And there's actually no connection between the boiler and you, the radiator. You've got to trust Christ. You see, it's not from your goodness. It's a free gift. You're lost. When we try to earn our own way to heaven, Isaiah, quoting God, says, all your righteousness is as filthy rags. He's referring in that too to menstrual rags, by the way. Come on. It's not a pretty sight. You can't save yourself. You see, you're way worse than you ever dreaded, but you are also more accepted and loved than you can ever dream. But you've got to come to Christ. If not, you'll have no connection and this won't happen for you. But sometimes a Christian will get into a situation where they have been offended and hurt, and what they'll do is they'll get a bubble in the line and they won't let go of that offense and they will not forgive and move on. And when that happens, it's not flowing anymore. So you need to start there. You need to kind of do, all of us need to do kind of a personal inventory to make sure that everything's flowing right, that we're not holding anything against anyone, and that we truly have trusted in Christ. Because when you come to Christ, it changes you, and it changes you, and it changes you. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, here we all are. Lord, you know, sometimes we deceive ourselves so much that we don't even, it's hard for us to even evaluate ourselves. So you've got to do it for us. Would you bring into our minds anyone that we have offended wrongly? Sometimes just by truth you offend people and you can't fix that. And sometimes people just have issues and they are offended because that's what they do. You can't fix that. But Lord, are we holding some stuff against some people? Have we not just, I know there are several here standing with me who were physically and sexually abused as children. That means we don't hold people accountable for what they do. But when we forgive, we give it up to you for you to deal with them. And we let it go. And Lord, I ask for all of us that you would help us to just let those things go to you. Reveal to us, Lord, is there a bubble in the line? Would you show us? Would you help us? Because we want to be your people. We want to live a life that matters. And we don't want it clogged up here. We want you to radiate your love through us to a lost world. Thank you for our time together today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.